Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you're listening to these programs week after week. We're coming to the end of our little series on the Apostles' Creed. In fact, I think this is week 12, so I hope you have enjoyed it. Join me as we read the Apostles' Creed. I'd like to do it a little different today. I would like to add the word Amen at the end of each line. But first, a quick review from last week, if you were listening, of what Amen means. In the Hebrew language, the word Amen means so it is or let it be, derived from a verb meaning be firm or sure, to be reliable, to believe in, or to trust. In the 30 times that Amen appears in the Old Testament, it precedes a statement, and the people are saying that they believe in, put their trust in, they knew what was said is reliable and firm. Amen. The meaning of the Greek word for Amen is, well, faith. The word Amen is a word which was used to affirm and to guarantee that a statement was absolutely true and absolutely trustworthy. Jesus is the truth and is absolutely trustworthy. Let me say that again as we begin, you know, this message. Jesus is the truth and absolutely trustworthy. Jesus is the faithful and true witness and the source of the creation of God. Jesus is telling his followers that they can go to the bank on what he is saying. Join with me as we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. Amen. Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Amen. The third day he rose again from the dead. Amen. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Amen. The forgiveness of sins. Amen. The resurrection of the body. Amen. And the life everlasting. Amen. A friend of mine wrote me this week to tell me that when he was in seminary, they taught him the Latin meaning of Amen, and it means in Latin, yes, Lord, or thank you, Lord. Before we go to God's Word, let us come to the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you sent your final Amen into this world to speak truth, love, and grace into our lives. Your final Amen gives us a foundation to build our lives upon. Help us to trust the one and only faithful and true Amen, Jesus Christ, your one and only Son. Amen. Well, let me give a little background. The city of Laodicea was located about 100 miles directly east of Ephesus, the last city to which these seven letters in the book of Revelation were addressed. Laodicea was part of a tri-city area, closely associated with the cities of Hierapolis and Colossae, to which the letter to the Colossians was written. Laodicea was noted throughout the whole Roman province of Asia for its wealth, its commercial life, and its medical practices. It was the banking center of Asia and the most prosperous of the seven cities that were written in the book of Revelation. Many large, beautiful homes were built in this city, the ruins of some, which are still visible today. Some of these homes were owned by Christians. Laodicea also had a flourishing clothing industry. A particular breed of black sheep was raised around that area, and the glossy black wool was woven into special cloths that were sold there. The city was noted for its medical practices, especially for its eye and ear salves. The medical cult of Asclepius was located there. Incidentally, doctors in the military service of the United States still wear the symbol of the staff, which entwined serpents around it, the symbol of Asclepius. Laodicea was thus a kind of, well, Bank of America, Macy's department store, and Mayo Clinic all rolled up into one. Talk about a one-stop place to shop. This will explain some of the references we find in this letter to the church in Laodicea. Let us listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Grab your Bibles. We're in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. If you don't have a Bible, email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. I'll get you a Bible. Listen to Revelation 3, 14 to 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Wow, that is some powerful words. As in each letter to each of the seven churches, Christ introduces himself in a very significant way. His opening description forms the key to what the church needs. Listen again. "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation." Apparently, the Lord Jesus wanted this church to see him in this role. He was first the Amen. We are very familiar with this word. We say it when we close a prayer or when we want to express an agreement with a meaningful statement. Amen is also a word that Jesus used frequently. In many of the modern versions of the gospel, Jesus begins many of his statements with the words, "Truly, truly, I say to you." The King James Version renders it, "Verily, verily." But in the actual Greek language, the words are "Amen" and "Amen." When Jesus says this, it means that he is saying something extremely important, and you can take it to the bank. The meaning of the Greek word is truth. The word "amen" is a word which was used to affirm and to guarantee a statement as absolutely true and absolutely trustworthy. Jesus is the truth, and he is absolutely trustworthy. Jesus is the faithful and true witness and the source of the creation of God. In the opening description, it's very important to the church in Laodicea. You see, they were neither hot nor cold. The image of them being lukewarm is also a reference to how they received their water. The city of Laodicea had to have their water brought to them by an aqueduct from the hot springs of the city of Hierapolis, 6 miles away. By the time the water arrived from Hierapolis, well, it was lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. The church in Laodicea was also lukewarm. Jesus knew what their problem was. They had no commitment. Boy, I should pause there, and we should all ponder that word. How is our commitment? I'd like for us to think about three things or three images of Christ today. The patience of Christ, the plea of Christ, and the place of Christ at our table. So we're going to look at the patience of Christ, the plea of Christ, and the place of Christ at our table. In William Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World, Christ is holding a lantern and knocking at a door. I had always heard that Christ was knocking at the door of the human heart asking for entrance, but this passage puts a whole new twist on that thought. Christ is knocking on the door of the church. Christ could be knocking on the door of your heart, which I think he does a lot. Christ could be knocking on the door of your home. Christ could be knocking on the door of your church. Let's look at the painting if you want. I would encourage you to go to the website and look at it. William Holman Hunt's painting of The Light of the World. If you look at the painting and see, you can find some of the rich symbolisms in it. As you have heard before, there's no handle on the outside of the door. The reason is that even though Christ desires to come in, he never forces his way in. He must be invited, and the door must be opened from the inside. The decision is ours as to whether Jesus will be allowed in or not. The hinges in the picture are rusted and the bolts are broken. The door is held in place only by vines, which shows that the door's never been used. Jesus is holding a lantern, which points to the fact that he's the light of the world. Outside, there is a neglected garden overgrown with weeds, fruit trees, which, well, they haven't been pruned, and a crop which has been lost for lack of tending. There is fruit that has fallen to the ground near the feet of Jesus, symbolized Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, and all mankind has fallen from God. There is a bat above the door, a nocturnal creature which loves the night. And it is dark outside, pointing to the truth of the scripture, which says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We invite you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us there in person, join us on our live stream. You can do that on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And the website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. If you miss those opportunities to worship live with us, you can always go to our YouTube, which is, we have our YouTube channel. And we have our worship service, we have our weekly messages, and we have our children's messages. The YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. We've been talking about the Amen of God and Jesus standing at the door and knocking. There is so much more. When we look at this painting and we read these scriptures, behold, I stand at the door and knock, I think we need to ask some questions. The first question I ask is, to whom is Christ speaking? I had always thought that Christ was speaking to each individual and that the door represented each individual's human heart. Christ was knocking because he wants to come into our hearts and live. But let's consider the context. To whom is Jesus speaking in Revelation chapter 3? He is speaking to the church. He is asking for permission, or he's asking for admission into his own church. Oh, pause and ponder that. Christ is asking permission to come into your church. Apparently, the church was closed, and the door, or at least they closed the door on him and never answered the knock. Now let's put the three P's that we talked about earlier, the patience of Christ, the plea of Christ, and the place of Christ. The first P is the patience of Christ. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you see the great love that God has for us and for his church as Jesus patiently stands at the door and knocks and keeps on knocking again and again, over and over? Well, and he's still doing it today, patiently knocking. Sometimes the knock comes through hardships and difficulties, sickness or death, financial loss or family problems. But whatever the case may be, Jesus stands patiently knocking at the door of your heart and also the door of our church. But we have the patience of Christ knocking, knocking, knocking. Let's think about the plea of Christ. If you hear my voice and open the door. The plea of Christ is that we would hear. We would hear his voice. Each letter to the seven churches of Revelation ends with the words, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In the Greek language, the word to hear, quote, to hear, well, it meant to obey, to follow, to act upon, which, you know, to act upon what you had just heard. The plea of Christ is for us to hear the sound of his voice as he stands knocking at the door, and for us to open the door wide so that he may come in. Remember, we must open the door from the inside. Christ will not open the door. He will not force himself upon us. Christ never forces anyone into salvation. Really, he offers salvation to you by grace. Everyone in Scripture, Jesus offers himself. He offers himself to men and women. He offers himself to all who want to come. He grieves over the fact that many do not receive his free offer. Remember that remarkable scene in the Gospels during Jesus' last week in Jerusalem? When he comes over to the top of the Mount of Olives and he sees the city spread out beneath him, Jesus wept. Jesus wept over the rebellious city. Listen to Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you stone the prophets and kill everybody God sends to you. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her children, her chicks, under his wings? But you would not. Matthew 23:37, also Luke 13:34. Christ wants us to act upon his knocking. He wants us to open the door, to invite him in, to say to him, come in, Lord Jesus, enter my life. Be Lord, be my Savior, deliver me from my sin and myself. I'm going to pause there. Maybe there's someone listening right now. Maybe there's someone listening. I don't know what time of day. I don't know where you're at. I don't know your fears, your doubts, your struggles. I don't know your guilt, your shame. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe you're just questioning. Jesus is asking to come into your heart. And the simple prayer is, you can pray it with me now. Come in, Lord Jesus. Enter my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Deliver me from my sin and myself. Boy, if you've said that prayer and you want to talk to somebody, you can email me at mrdave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Jesus wants to be not just your Savior, he wants to be your Lord. We could also say, come in, Lord Jesus, enter our church. Be the Lord in our church. Be the Savior of our church. Deliver our church from our sins. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we have the patience of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We have the plea of Christ. If you hear my voice and open the door. Now let's look at the place of Christ at our table. He says, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. The third step, well, it's very clear. He will enter in. He says so right here. If you open the door, I will enter in and remain with you. I will eat together and be together. What a beautiful picture of Christ permanently dwelling within you. He will move in to live with you. The actual word for eat here is the Greek word dipneno, which refers to the evening meal or supper. Supper was the main meal of the day. Breakfast was a slice of bread dipped in wine. Lunch was seldom eaten at home. But supper was the time to sit down and fellowship in the home after the work of the day was done. Supper meant a time of intimacy and relationship, sharing and fellowship. It was called communion. This is not a mere courtesy visit that Christ is promising. He desires to come in, sit down, and spend a long time in communion, in conversation with you. This is the place that Christ desires at our table. Our table filled with intimacy, sharing, and communion. Jesus patiently stands at the door and knocks. His plea is that we would hear his voice and open the door so that he could take his place at the table. Well, so what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home. I'd like for us to close this series on the Apostles' Creed with the last words from the Bible. Our last reading comes from an invitation and a warning. Are you thirsty? Then come. Listen for God's word. Revelation 22:17-22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes words away from his book of prophecy, God will take away from him his shares in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. That's how the book ends, with an amen. Friends, after 12 long weeks, the invitation is simple. Come, let anyone who hears say come. The invitation is all who are thirsty. I don't know about you, but these past 70 days, we've had some hot temperatures and higher than normal times. I'm pretty thirsty. I can totally imagine this verse today. So what? So what is that? What is it that you believe about God the Father? What is it that you believe about Jesus? What is it that you believe about the Holy Spirit? What is it that you believe about the church and the communion of saints? What is it that you believe about forgiveness? What is it that you believe about the resurrection and life everlasting? This past week, it's been a hard week in ministry. Actually, it's been one of the most intense months of ministries I've ever had. I sat at the bedside of a person who was preparing to go and meet Jesus. He wanted to bless her four grandchildren before she went home, and we've been meeting and planning, and we were able to complete her plan this week. There's a second person I've been visiting regularly who's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. This man is a longtime friend and co-worker in the ministry with me. He's a retired surgeon. Every week I go and sit with him. Sometimes other doctors and friends come by when I'm there. We sit and we pray and we talk and we laugh together. I've been with him in the hospital when he was gone through his treatments. My friend asks everyone he meets this one simple question since being diagnosed with inoperable cancer. He asks, if I believe the way you believe, what will happen to me when I die? And if I believe the way you believe, what will happen to me when I die? That question. My dear friend has been sharing the good news of the resurrection with others as he walks with Jesus through this difficult diagnosis. I've also been calling and carrying the burdens of four pastors. I want you to know that Jesus is with you. He wants you to believe. So what? What do you believe? The final thing I want to tell you is if you believe like I believe, when you die, you will be present with the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for this message in the Apostles' Creed. As we end it with amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.